Let's just quickly look at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2. We are closing out on this innovation thing. Proverbs 19 and verse 2. And it says also that the soul be without knowledge is not good. In other words, also that the soul be without knowledge is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Now what he's speaking about is a man who rushes into action without having adequate knowledge concerning the subject that he's trying to execute on. That a soul without knowledge is not good. A soul that is void of knowledge. And the reason why a lot of people don't get knowledge first is that they are in a hurry. And it says here that hasteth with his feet, sinneth. The word sin there, the root word means to fall short of the intended mark. That is when it says all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, it says a man that hasteth with his feet will fall short, far short of the intended mark in that particular thing. And the reason is that he didn't take time to acquire relevant knowledge, what is on the earth concerning that particular thing that he or she was getting involved in. And so we're talking about innovation here and the role of acquiring knowledge. That is knowledge as the material you will use and take into the, well, incubation process, where new ideas and thoughts, which are solutions to the problem, or things that will surmount the challenges, come out to you, all right? Okay, come as an experience out of your heart. But we said the first thing we've got to understand is that there can be no innovation without a problem defined, or a challenge, all right, that you have clearly defined. In other words, innovation here is about creating new ideas and thoughts, or receiving fresh ideas and thoughts, all right, that will be solutions to problems that you are confronting or a challenge that you are facing. And the word innovation doesn't necessarily have to be tied up to technology, right? Innovation is just a process whereby a person, or I goes through a process, and they create new ideas and thoughts that will serve a defined purpose on the earth. In other words, there's a challenge, and with all the knowledge available, nobody really has the solution to this. So that person wants to go through what is called innovation. Very important thing. But the problem has to be defined. The challenge has to be clear. In other words, what is the problem? Could say I need 3 million naira in the next 2 weeks. They are dealing with something specific. And I want to create the thoughts that I will act on that will bring to me 3 million naira in 2 weeks. Or there is a problem, all right, at work. And, you know, we have a target. We have to reach, all right, a particular target in 6 months. And so what we want to do is to create that plan, the ideas there, the thoughts that will definitely bring us at, all right, to that particular point. And so that's what innovation is about. And it's used, all right, we need to understand the process, because we either innovate or get stuck in life. That is, we confront challenges we will never be able to resolve if we don't understand this process. Now in Proverbs 8:11, if you can put it up, it talks about wisdom being more important than rubies. All right. It says, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now why is this? Why is wisdom better than rubies and nothing you can desire? Now, the next verse tells us something about this wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out the knowledge of witty inventions. In other words, wisdom here is responsible, all right, for this. There's innovation here. Somebody says, well, I need more rubies, or I need more money. And wisdom says, what you need are more creative ideas, not more money. More money will sink even what you are doing. What you need is some innovation here. So we want to look at this process and how the Holy Spirit, right, stands as our senior partner in this process. How Him operating in us influences our minds, and by that creates insights and combinations, right, that no other person can see. In other words, we are presented with material, and the Holy Spirit influencing our minds creates within us insight into that information, and then combinations there that no natural mind can access by itself. So I want to look at the practical steps in employing the Holy Spirit in this process. And the first thing we've got to understand is that, and I explain this, is that He is going to use the same material that is available to everyone. In other words, it's the same material that is available to everyone the Holy Spirit is going to use. We spoke about this first session there, about the revelation of our redemption in Christ. That is not available to everyone, but it's given unto you to know that, and to those that are without. But then there's other information we have in the world, in creation, invisible things up here, and that is discovered by investigation. So He's going to use the same material, all right, that is available to everyone. Now, Christians sometimes have a problem with this, and this is what should be resolved. And once we can resolve this, then we start going up in quantum leaps, because this is a place where we are not playing. All right, the grounds, all right, where we are marking absent, right? But the outcomes are going to be different. So He uses the same material, but He is going to create combinations in your thought life. He is going to give you insight into the same material that will produce, all right, a different outcome. That is, exposed to the same information, but the results are different. Now, Christians, we haven't seen or clearly seen the importance of being well informed about things. In other words, gathering relevant information, the power of knowledge. Now, let me put it this way. If a person, now, God forbid, your car breaks down, and you open up the bonnet and you look, all right, to see what is wrong. Now, what begins to happen is, in your mind, you start looking for all the knowledge that you've stored up in your mind concerning the engine of a car, and you want to combine all that information to try to find out what's wrong with your car. Now, if all that you know, based on some conversation somewhere or something you experienced while you were in somebody else's car, is that the fan belt caught or there was no water in the radiator, all you're going to do is look at the fan belt, look at the radiator, there is water there, the fan belt is intact, zap, that's it. All right, you don't have any information beyond that, so everything stops. There is no combination, nothing can happen there. So you keep staring, and then you call somebody, let's say a roadside mechanic, he comes in. Now, because he has been trained, and he has been exposed to information concerning, all right, the engine of the car, for some years he has a lot. So his own mind begins to combine all the thoughts to try to find out. He starts the car, he listens to the sound and all of that. All the thoughts to try to find out what exactly is wrong with this car. All right? So he decides to act based on the combination there and says, maybe it's this. And then he tries that. All right? Now, if you've not been a very good person, and I explain what I'm saying, then he says that, well, I've been your mechanic for years and you have not been really good to me. So he wants to make a lot of money from you, so he drops your engine when it's not necessary. Are you following what I'm saying here? He drops it because the last time he didn't drop the engine, and he just did one or two things. You said to him, And what did you do? You just did one or two things. I gave him 500 naira. I said, well, if that's the case, my brain worked very well. I gave him 500 naira. So now I will drop the engine for you, split everything, bring it together. So when I say 10,000, you will give me the 10,000. I'm just saying this, that be good to your workers. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's a very important principle in life. Are you following what I'm saying here? Be good and be generous to them. Right? A lot of people have run into trouble, apart from even losing money, have run into trouble because they are just not good to people that work for them. Right? Not good to them. Okay? It's not just about what they do. Right? Be good to them. Because they can be a line of defense in your life. They can bring more information to you, all right, and tell you things. All right? So be good to them. But getting back to the point, all right, he thinks about it, and he finally says, all right, this was wrong. Now, truly you might be more intelligent than that person, right, but he has more information than you concerning that particular thing. So what happens is, your own intelligence takes first thought, second thought, combines it, and block. All right? Can't go beyond that. Everything stops. Him, his intelligence has a lot of material over the years and combines all of that and says, this is what we're going to do, and gets it done. So a medical doctor also comes. There's a patient right there. And what happens is, you love this person, but you are sitting before this person. You don't know what to do. The reason is not that you are not intelligent. You don't have material there. He comes in, he has the material, he says, let's try this, let's try that. He's combining everything that he knows on the inside. Suddenly he says, all right, I think this is what it is. Give this particular injection here. And then the change begins to happen because he has that kind of information. Now, what we're talking about in innovation with the Holy Spirit as your partner is that it is the same information we are dealing with. Now, it is your everyday life we're talking about. This world of commerce. So it is the same information there. Now, I'll talk about where the spiritual information counts. But it's the same information. And if you don't have that information, then the Holy Ghost, who is the intelligence of God, all right, personified within you, has nothing really to work with. And therefore, that innovation cannot really occur. So he says, I need information. I need you to go out there, right, and get knowledge. This is why knowledge is so important to the human soul, right? Very important. Now, many times what we just think as Christians, that we have it somewhere in our belief system, is that, you know, well, I don't need all that kind of information. God will just show me, all right, what is wrong with it in my business. I will pray and fast and just show me what is wrong, and then I'll act on it. Now, let me ask you a question here. If you are going to board a flight, and there's a Christian there who is the pilot, and he's praying in tongues and praying in tongues, and then you ask him, all right, did you learn to fly? He says, no. He says, but don't worry about that. As we get into the plane, God will just show me, and I will know how to take off, and when it's time to land, he will just show me. You are going to get off that flight. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, you won't board a plane with a person who is thinking like that, then why do you go into your life with that mindset? Why do you think that, all right, without you having adequate knowledge, all right, without you, all right, being well informed about things, that really and truly, all right, God will bypass all of that? And what happens is that we haven't differentiated between the supernatural and the spectacular. And so we hear testimonies that happen maybe once in a lifetime about a spectacular manifestation of God in that kind of area. In other words, you know, Jesus walked on water once, but that wasn't his means of transportation. All right? The next day, Jesus entered a boat. There was a time Jesus entered a boat, immediately they got to the land. Didn't mean the next day that he entered into a boat, immediately they got to the land. Right? Those are spectacular things. Those are things that is left to the sovereignty of God, and he does it as he wills. It's not something you can say that you are believing him, all right, for, which means now I want to believe God to walk on water, right? So I go to the lagoon and I say, I'm going to walk on water, right? God, all right, in his sovereignty, can make a man who maybe is in a dangerous situation, and then he jumps out of a boat, and he begins to run on water. But it's not that when he gets to the shore, he now says, this is now going to be my mode of transportation on water from now on, right? But the supernatural is a process, all right, and the outcome is the same as the spectacular at the end, but there is a process that is involved, all right, in it, and this is what we are speaking about. So the Holy Ghost is going to use the same material there, right, that is available there, and then he will work in you. I want to show this to solve that particular problem. And when you are tackling a problem, or when you are faced with a challenge, that is when a knowledge can really come alive on the inside of you. That's when your soul craves really for knowledge. As someone said, the soul will never imbibe truth in its living power until it requires it. So your heart, all right, will receive knowledge there. It will receive knowledge, right, once there is a problem and says, well, I'm directing you to go and solve this problem. It opens up and it's ready to receive, all right, knowledge concerning that particular thing. So we've looked at the car, and this same process here, that the mechanic there, you might be more intelligent than the doctor, you might be more intelligent than the mechanic, but you don't have as much information, so your intelligence really counts for little. In other words, you cannot combine, all right, anything to bring forth anything. And the Holy Spirit is also handicapped because you haven't given him the material to get it done. Now, I'll show how, all right, he gets involved. But he gets involved with that material. And what he does is that he begins to show you and give you insight. And somebody sent me a message of between second service that was coming here on the Lekki Bridge. And she used to work in the office and went to Imperial College. She said, what you said, second service, is absolutely perfect. It happened to me. Said, remember, I got in late for my course there. And she said, we had a particular test that was going to come in a week. And I missed all the lectures there concerning. So I had to get the videos. And I sat down there. And she said something about how she did it with the Holy Spirit. And she said, I began to listen to all the lectures, all right. And she said, I came out first in the class, in the test. And I wasn't around when those lectures were actually going on. But I made the information was made available to me, and I sat alone, and she said the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart concerning the information that was being opened up unto me, and when it was time for the test, she said, and it was in nuclear physics, she said, I came out on top, all right? So I want to look at this process, but the material must be all right before you. Now, if we have limited information, all right, and are working in the same fields, and our own information is limited, which means, as far as God is concerned, all of this information is on the earth concerning this particular thing. All this information is on the earth. I mean, you can't go beyond, all right, in innovation now, let's say in technology, the iPod, if you don't understand it. You must, first of all, understand what they did there to be able to go beyond that. If your knowledge level is lower, if all you know is about cathode rays and what you read in Abbott and all of that, there is no way you can't combine that to create anything. We said this last week. Material determines the design. During the Stone Age, nobody ever thought about creating a sword because the material was stone. You couldn't make a sword out of it. When the Iron Age came, the men thought about that. When the Wright brothers thought about flying, because certain materials were not available, the only things they could use to fly was wood, canvas, and all of that. But as man began to discover more material, then people began to use what was available to create things at that particular point in time. So material available determines what you can produce. And so if God says all of this knowledge is on the earth concerning this thing you want to do, and you do not make that knowledge, all right, and get that knowledge and go after that knowledge, all right, and imbibe that, then the Holy Spirit right, won't be able to do as much as he ought to do in you. Right? And I've said we just have this belief system that the Holy Ghost, all right, will just show up. Okay? And, you know, the thought will just come from somewhere, and that will just be it, and I will act on that. And we believe that, all right, we've never experienced it, but we keep believing it. And, all right, I won't go too much into this, but there is nothing that stops creative thinking as much as religion. Now, I'm not talking about understanding the Holy Spirit and relating with the Holy Ghost. Because the religious strong man in the mind, he is the one that protects that mind from taking any new thoughts that will bring about an improvement. Which means, once they say, this is it, this is the traditional way of thinking, this is how it is, all right, anybody that tries to shift the ground on that is blasphemous. And nobody wants to, even if it's not working, even if what we are doing is not producing the desired outcome, we just hold on to it that this is what we are doing, all right? Even if it doesn't produce anything, right, we just hold on to that. But Christianity is beyond that. It's a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So how does this happen? Now let's look at Daniel. Use Daniel as an example here and show what we're talking about. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17. Now how did Daniel and these other boys become so innovative? It says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. So they were exposed to the same information as every other person. But then God now gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had an understanding of visions and dreams. And then in verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in Israel. In other words, they carried out a test based on their understanding of the wisdom and the knowledge that was given unto them. And they found Daniel and his friends to have 10 times, to be 10 times better. In other words, when they scored them, every other person was scoring 8%, 9%, 10%, 11%. Daniel and his friends were scoring 98, 99, and 100. And they did it in every sphere. And so the king said, these boys have 10 times, all right, are 10 times better than the other chaps. Now, these other chaps were not, you know, dollars there. These were the best of the best in the kingdom. For if you look at the criteria in chapter 1, all right, or verse 4, children, or from verse 3, the king spoke unto him and talked about to the master of eunuchs and said they should bring certain children of Israel. And in verse 4, children in whom there is no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they may teach. So they were teaching them the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. So they brought the brightest of the young boys and brought them there and started teaching them. And the way Daniel and his friends processed the information, the combinations they made in their minds, the insight that they had to that information, the king said, these people are 10 times better than every other person here. Now, so the question I want to ask is this. A financial institution says, get me all the fresh graduates. I want everybody. First class, this is what they're talking about, or second class up. They bring all of them into the place. They start teaching and training them. At the end of the training there, they now do a test. Everybody is scoring 15% and under, and four guys consistently are scoring 100% consistently. Now, what is the boss of that organization going to do? Number one, when he looks at the result, he says, send for those guys. Number two, he wants to protect and hide those boys from other people in the industry. All right? Number three, all right, is very the way he's going to structure, right, everything, how he's going to pay them, because he wants to retain this talent. Right? And if there's any problem in that organization, he will look and say, are those guys in that department? Go and ask them what they can do about it. Now, the reason is that through this innovation, they've come out to 10 times more understanding. Now, here's our own problem. We don't think that we need to go through this process because the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord and he turns it whichever way. So what we do is that we start pacing the floor. The heart of this king is in the hands of the Lord. I shall be favored by this king. He will promote me for promotion. You understand what I'm saying here? If you operate in this, the natural consequence will be promotion.
Thank you for listening.